You're listening to Italian Dish, and I'm your host, Christine. I'm an expat here in Italy. In each episode, we'll cook one Italian recipe together, and I'll dish a little bit about what it's really like living here in Italy. So, put on your apron, pour yourself a glass of wine, and let's get cooking. Ciao a tutti e benvenuti nella mia cucina. Hi guys, and welcome to my kitchen. And say hello to Paolo.
Hello.
Yes, ciao Paolo,
Italy.
Yeah.
Ciao.
Yeah, Paolo is actually not in Italy. He is a podcasting friend who is coming to us today from the United Kingdom. And where are you exactly? I don't remember where you said you live.
Okay, the town is called Hazelmere, which is south of London, southwest, like 40 kilometers, 50 kilometers from London.
Okay, great.
Beautiful place.
But you're, really. Yeah, nice. But you're originally from Italy, right?
That's right, yes. I'm from Lombardy. And it's not by accident that I'm from Lombardy.
Yes. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the dish that you're going to teach me how to make today, because I am an absolute novice at this. I've never made it before, and before you suggested it, I'd actually never even heard of it before. So, it's a total novelty for me. So, what are we making today?
Yes, it is a dish that is not very well known at all outside of Italy, even outside of Lombardy, very much. It's called pizzoccheri. Pizzoccheri. It sounds a bit like pizza, but it's nothing to do with pizza. Not at all. Some people may think. But yes, it's an interesting, basically, entree or first course. I would call it like an entree, really, because it's quite filling. Made of buckwheat noodles. This is the main ingredient. And today we're going to make them from scratch. So a lot of Italians find them in store as dried pasta. So that's quite available, especially in Northern Italy. So a lot of people don't really bother to make them because it can very well be dried pasta. Like many, many Italian dishes, you know, dried pasta works very well for them.
So yeah, this is definitely.
But yeah, today we're going to make it from scratch. And it's a very dear dish. So growing up in Lombardy, that's something that my mother used to make. It's a weekday meal, nothing fancy. And you know, we learn how to make it really by buying the box, which comes from the box pasta, which comes from Valtellina, which is the original area of Lombardy, where this dish originates. Valtelline, I don't know how you call it in English.
And, I have no idea.
Right. So we're not from that valley. So we learned how to make it too by reading the instructions, really. But I also happened to have tasted it in a restaurant in the mountains near the area. And it was made slightly differently. So I'll be talking about both versions.
Oh, great. Fantastic. I can't wait.
We get started.
I'm really excited. Yeah. Fantastic. So just a sort of, you know, fare mente locale, like what we need for the dish.
Yes.
I don't even really know how I would say that in English, but yes. So we've got all of our ingredients. We've got some berza, which is, I think, Savoy cabbage in English.
That's right.
I have to ask you for confirmation. A lot of times there's things that, like, I'm so used to the name in Italian now that I kind of forget. Anyways, yes, cabbage, some potatoes, and then the buckwheat flour, of course, for the pizzoccheri, for the pasta. And then also regular flour, such as like an all-purpose flour, correct?
That's right, yes.
Okay. Because I saw on my bag of, so in Italian, it's farina di grano saraceno. And I have a recipe on the back of the bag for pizzoccheri senza glutine. So like gluten-free pizzoccheri as well. Yeah, so I guess you can do that if you're interested, because I guess farina di grano saraceno is naturally senza, like, gluten-free.
Oh, interesting. But, I actually didn't know that. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's very useful.
Yeah,
that's really useful to know.
Curious about that. Yeah,
it's definitely, it can be made up with 100% buckwheat flour, if you so wish. They turn out a bit rustic that way. So normally, a little bit of the regular flour is mixed in, more for balance, really, to make it more, you know, chewy texture.
Yeah.
But
that's what
but
I was
really,
thinking.
Yeah, if you like the flavor. In fact, I think it's used whole in things like in Japanese food is soba. And I used to love zaru soba, which is like cold noodles made of barley flour. Just delicious. Another use for this flour, if you have it around, is polenta taragna, which is another dish of the mountains there in Lombardy. Valtellina, but also Bergamo, Brescia. And is a polenta that is particularly delicious with this flour and cheese mixed in. So just this mountain food.
Yeah.
Yes, this is mountain food. Very comfort food for me, just like where I go when I need comfort. Absolutely.
Well, that's so perfect. Tell us what we need to do.
So I'm going to tell you what to do. Fantastic. So we have, I'm going to actually weigh the flour because I don't have it prepared. So it's 100.
Okay.
I'm going to do 100 grams of buckwheat flour. So we use a scale for this. And 100 grams, and 50 grams of regular flour. So it's about 2/3 buckwheat and 1/3 flour. And this would make a portion sufficient for 2 or 3 people. So it'd be a good lunch. Actually, this is going to be my lunch today because
perfect.
I haven't eaten yet. So I love doing this, by the way, Christine. This is wonderful to talk while cooking.
Yeah.
And moving around the kitchen freely. I've done some Zoom calls with work where I was showing you how to make some dishes become a thing in my office for some reason. You always have to think about the camera and all that. It's so hard, but I love the just audio version.
It's just like talking on the phone to somebody while they explain how to cook, which not that I used to do that, but still it's kind of fun.
It is exactly like that. Yeah. So a little bit of salt too goes in here.
Sorry
for the noise. And just for measure, I'm using 1/8 of a teaspoon for this, just to give an idea.
Okay.
And from Canada, I brought my measuring spoons.
I was gonna say, so un cucchiaino in Italian, eh?
Well, 1/8 of a cucchiaino, it would be like really a generous pinch in Italian. You probably Italian recipes would call it a generous pinch of salt for this small amount, really, of noodles. So I'm gonna mix the flours and the salt. And then that's really a delicate point of this preparation. You need to mix in a little bit of water. And I prefer to use warm water. Some people even use hot water. So I'm going to just use tap water, but let it go a little bit warm. And it's really important that we put just a little bit of it. The smallest amount. Because if you put too much water, then you have to add more flour. And it never ends.
You can go back and forth.
Yes. So the point is to make, I'm mixing into a mixing bowl for this, obviously. The point is to make a very, very dense dough, very dry. So just enough water. And then, when you start to see lumps forming, it's probably already time to move it over to a rolling board or a cutting board. So this is a little bit different than making fresh pasta.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is definitely different.
And you also can already smell the buckwheat flour. It's got this unique flavor, smell, really.
Yeah, it does. I have to say, I've really basically never worked with buckwheat flour. Like, I've had buckwheat flour pancakes before in the United States.
Oh, right, yes.
But it's like mixed in, not really like the main flour.
That's right.
And when I mentioned this dish to my husband, he being from the South had never heard of it. And when he saw a photo of it, he was like, that looks like mountain food. And I was like, yep.
Exactly. Fantastic.
So he's just like a very different culinary tradition in his, upbringing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Where's your husband from again?
He's from just outside of Caserta, so Aversa, near Naples, basically.
Yeah, so I bet he has never tasted them either.
Yeah, I don't think
so. What do you think? Maybe not, yeah.
Excellent. Probably not. Yes,
I have my dough that is now ready, it should not be sticky. So if you find it sticky, then you definitely need to add more flour.
Okay.
And if you add more flour, you need to add kind of a balanced mix of the two and more salt as well. And you're making more noodle. So that's what I said. Yeah, it's kind of a little bit my situation right now because for some reason I added a bit too much flour. So I'm going to do that very quickly and turn it into a very dry dough again.
Yeah, because mine is still breaking up into bits as I like mix it. Do I need to add more water, you think?
No. Try to move it to the rolling board at this point and work it with your hands until you get like a very, if you can make it stick together almost fully, it's okay if it kind of breaks a little bit.
Okay. Yes. But just start like working it.
Have to start working it till you get into something that is workable, but still very dry. And you don't feel a lot of moisture coming from it. It's not a lot of kneading really needed.
Okay.
Just enough to get it into a very dry.
Interesting.
No,
it's kind of like
the
texture of like really dried out Play-Doh from a childhood.
That's right. That's a very good metaphor. Yeah. Absolutely. Dried out Play-Doh. Okay. All right. So we're going to just roll it into a ball for now and let it rest there, covered with something.
Okay. So I was going to say, there's still like a little bit of flour that's like loose on my board. Should I try and like work that in more?
I think it's fine to leave it there. You will, when you start rolling it with your rolling pin, it'll probably be incorporated then.
Okay. So yeah, we're not really like working this as much as I expected. Like when you make pasta and you have to like knead it for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, my experience, maybe because it's so dry. Really, you're trying to make more of a paste than a dough. It's a very thick paste.
Okay.
And I'm going to just cover it with my mixing bowl and just leave it there. Leave it there to rest and relax a little bit. We'll make it become more uniform and easier to roll.
Okay.
I'm washing my hands. You probably hear sounds. At this point, I think we can start with the preparation, which is a one pot dish traditionally. It's
boiled
in the same big pot. So you're using a big pan or a pot. I don't know how you call them, those things. In England, my coworkers are telling me that no, they're not called pots. They're called pans, even when they're for boiling pasta. It's a big pan.
I think that's a pot to me.
That might be a
difference in regional English, but this is something my coworkers and I also go back and forth on all the time. So what do you call the little vocab quiz? What do you call the four burners that are your cooktop? What is that called to you?
For me, that's the stove.
Okay, good answer.
because I learned English in Vancouver.
And right. I was hoping that would be your response. Yeah.
But this is like a cooktop or a burner.
Right. Yeah. Have you also heard it called by a three-letter word that starts with the letter H?
The hob, yes.
Yes.
Yes, here just in the UK. Yeah, I still haven't learned that word, yes.
It's just so weird to me. I never call it that, but there you go. It could also be the hob. So are you going to get your water going?
Yes, I'm getting my water going because that's one thing that I hate about cooking is waiting for the water to boil. So I prefer to have the water already boiling and maybe overboiling. Yeah. Then I can do something.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm going to get that one going. Meanwhile, so a little pro tip here. So we're going to use a lot of water. And the reason why we need a lot of water here is because we're making fresh pasta. There's going to be some flour on our pasta. right?
Right,
from
right.
rolling. It's just necessary, really, to roll it properly. And all of this flour will end up in the water. And really, we don't want to eat all that flour. So if we use a big pot, it's going to go and rest on the bottom.
Okay. Love and this. Pro tips.
We don't scoop it up. We don't scoop it up very much.
Yeah.
But if you want, you can also have another pot of water boiling just for the pasta. And you're going to use to blanch the pasta very, very quickly. And it's maybe more like a restaurant probably would. You wouldn't do it all in one pot. You probably have a dedicated pasta, starchy water thing going on the side. Right? So we'll do it one pot, traditional here.
Yeah, we're all about the one pot dishes over here.
Oh yeah,
less dishes to wash.
Absolutely,
much better.
Okay, while this thing warms up, it's going to take a few minutes. We can prepare the other two ingredients that go into this dish, which are potatoes and cabbage. Mm-hmm. So potatoes, I like to use some yellow potatoes, like those for roasting. Not for baking. I prefer the roasting kind that are a bit drier and like firmer. Yes. But really any potato, as long as it's not sweet, you can use any potato. And I'm just going to, we need 250 grams roughly, which is like two medium potatoes. And for two, three people. So in my potato.
This is the perfect portion for my family since we're two plus toddler. So,
plus three, perfect.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, he's gonna love it.
Yeah,
I think so.
I think so. I mean, potatoes and pasta. Yeah. Basically, we joke whenever my son shows any like food preference.
Yeah.
If he's like being more Italian that day or more American, being that he's like half and half. Yeah, most days he's more Italian because he's born here. So, but most days he's like pasta or forget about it. Like he just, excellent. That's his favorite thing to eat. So I expect totally that he'll like this dish. Yeah.
Okay. So potatoes are peeled. I'm going to just slice them, dice them really.
Okay.
You want to like make 1 centimeter, half an inch roughly. Dice.
Sounds good. Yeah, potatoes are just like, this sounds so wintry and comforting, like you said, because I don't know about what the weather is like where you're at, but you're in the UK, so I can only imagine. But here in Florence, it's like rainy, dreary, gray. Well, it's gross out. So
it's awful.
Perfect day for a potato dish. Yeah.
Absolutely. Again, this is comfort food, which is what I love to cook, really.
Yeah, same.
We make it in the summer, too.
Nice. Well, if it's one of those things that you grew up on, I feel like it's sort of transcends the seasons.
Totally, totally.
I tend to make, like, my favorite things, you know, American dishes, things like that, like, all year round, really. Okay. Unless it's, like, a truly, like... For example, Christmas morning, I made cinnamon rolls because that's that's Christmas morning to me. So
that's
seasonal. Gotta have them. Yeah.
I was thinking of making that for the first time. I never made cinnamon rolls.
Ooh, you should.
Something I crave from Canada.
Yes. My husband's family loves them. So I highly recommend it. If you want to win points with anybody, make them some cinnamon rolls.
I don't think my parents have ever tried them.
No.
Yeah. Well, these days, there's great. No traveling. So they're in Italy. There's no way for me to get over there.
I know. Yeah, we're also like kind of stuck. Which is okay, of course. I mean, we understand the reason why. But it's like still looking forward to hopefully in the next year, in the new year, like being able to see my parents again, see my family.
Be nice.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Maybe give them a hug.
Yeah.
Those things we took for granted. Anyway, almost done with the potatoes. Takes time.
Yeah. Just chopping them up.
in my case, is actually four small potatoes. So a little bit more work.
Yeah, I've got like three smallish ones, mm-hmm. I'd say. Three small ones, but looks good.
There we go. Good amount of potatoes. I'm going to put them aside onto a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to prepare the cabbage.
Okay. How much cabbage do you say we'll need? Maybe like half?
It's less than half. It's probably like one third.
Okay.
Yeah, 150 grams. Maybe even a quarter, really.
Yeah, depending on the size of your cabbage.
Yeah, and I mean, cabbage is delicious, especially Savoy cabbage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's, you know, a bitterness or pungent. And I love the bitterness as well. And I was researching this, the inner leaves are more bitter.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, I didn't know either. Because it's a defense mechanism of the plant against, you know, being eaten. So it doesn't taste very good to, I don't know, a boar or somebody.
I love that. I love little fun facts like that. That's great.
So because it's a defense mechanism, it's stronger in the part that is actively being developed or growing.
Mm-hmm.
So the wider inner leaves that I haven't seen, wider white.
I do love like just, I guess like braised Savoy cabbage.
Oh yeah.
It is just so good.
It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
So if cabbage is not your thing, I know some people listening maybe don't love cabbage. You can replace cabbage with spinach, just to give it some color, really, at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Color and a little bit of texture, but it's totally not the same dish.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably changes it a bit. Huh?
Completely, yeah, I know. Well, not completely. It's missing something, yeah. So if you make it with spinach, it's delicious, but with cabbage, it's more delicious.
Right.
All right. So cabbage, we want to just slice it coarsely. Have nice some chunks still in it. And mm-hmm. I want to discard the stem bit, the one closer to the stem, which is very thick. And it won't cook very well.
Cool.
Roughly chop it up.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I don't know if your water is getting there.
I hate to check because I doubt that it is.
And you think if you check, you're going to disturb it.
Yeah, well, and you know, I'll never forget, a watched pot never boils.
True.
I'm just infamous for this. I like lift the lid 700 times and then I know I'm lowering the temperature of the water when I do it anyway, so it's just counterproductive, but I can't help myself.
I guess
well,
it's a self.
Yeah.
Self-ful
there are little
processing.
Bubbles. Yes, true. Like you manifest your own struggles.
Okay, good. We may even have to lower the heat a little bit because we need to still roll the noodles. But you'll see it's a very quick operation.
Great.
All right, my cabbage is chopped. This point. Mm-hmm. Looks nice.
So then are we basically going to cook the vegetables first?
That's right. Precisely. Okay. So because we're doing fresh pasta cooks very quickly. It will cook in like 2-3 minutes. It will boil very quickly. So we really get started with the vegetables ahead of time. If you're using dried pasta instead, then you kind of add them almost at the same time because it will take 10, 12 minutes to cook,
gotcha.
Which is as long as these vegetables will take to cook, really.
Okay, great.
But before we do that, let's leave the vegetables still out of the water. We go ahead and roll these noodles. So that's the most exciting part.
Yeah, definitely. This is the action.
The action part. So meanwhile, it's probably been resting for 10 minutes, which is a good thing.
Okay, good. Yeah, pasta always needs a break, right? Whenever you make pasta.
It does, doesn't it?
A little pasta nap. Metaphor for life. Take a break.
That's a great idea. So I'm going to start to roll it flat using a rolling pin.
Mm-hmm.
And as I roll it, I fold it onto itself. A bit like when you use a pasta machine, you keep folding it. So it's kind of a way of kneading that is less effort than kneading.
Interesting.
Just make it go flat. And it's not very elastic at all. This is quite a dry thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's definitely like a big, dry lump. Basically.
It's not really appealing at this point.
Yeah, it's not the prettiest looking pasta, I'll say that for now. But
no.
I mean, I have high hopes for the taste. I just, if other people are thinking the same thing, I just want to point out, it's not just you.
No, it's looking pretty much like sand. Yes, wet sand. Okay, so if it gets too big, so we want to get to like 2 or 3 millimeters, which is quite thick for fresh pasta. But if it gets unworkable because, I don't know, my cutting board is not too big, I'm going to put half of it aside and just keep rolling the half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we're getting to the next point, which is how are we going to cut this? Ah. So I am lucky to have the perfect tool, which I was able to find in a kitchen store. It's really a vegetable mincer. I have a picture of it on my blog.
Okay.
It's made of like, there's 9 parallel wheels, cutting blades, really. About like 0.5 centimeter, one from another.
Oh,
and this will make like 8 noodles at a time, and it's perfect. But if you don't have anything like this, you can use one of your regular single wheel cutting tools for pasta, or a knife, really. But you need to be quite precise with a knife and go straight. It's not easy. So I hope you have something you can use.
I have actually something I got for Christmas. It's not exactly like the typical like bicicleta paella pasta, but it's a like a rolling pin with little blades on it.
Yeah, yeah.
That are spaced out. So it's not exactly like the metal kind, but a little bit more traditional, I think. But
that's awesome. Yeah.
I'm excited to try it out. Never used that before.
So again, a little bit thick. And you want it to kind of look a bit dry, not a lot of flour on top.
Mm-hmm.
And not dry when you touch it. Sorry, not wet when you touch it, not moist.
Okay. So not like sticky.
Not sticky. And if it's too wet, again, a little bit of flour, but work it in with a rolling pin so you don't have flour sitting on top of the surface.
Okay.
This is, if you have a pasta machine, this is better actually to use a pasta machine for this because it will just be uniform. And
yeah.
Okay. Meanwhile, my water is clearly boiling right now. So I'm going to start slicing. And then I'm also using a knife because we want these noodles to be short. So they're cut like tagliatelle, really.
Mm-hmm.
Or what's another name?
Like fettuccine?
Fettuccine, esatto. But these are going to be then sliced, cut short, like 5 or 6 centimeters long.
Oh, okay.
Because we don't want to eat them. So this is the only case, really, where we cut the pasta that we're going to cook. It's long pasta that has been cut. And
yeah.
So normally Italians don't do that, and they hate when people do that.
Yeah, what is that about? I mean, is that to keep pasta in intero? I don't know.
You want to have that texture. I think.
Mm.
If you start to mix it, it starts to resemble baby food, and no offense.
For your kid. Well, then we can't have that.
Yeah, no, it just becomes not very appealing to me, having grown up there. I remember one of the things that I used to really dislike is seeing people in restaurants. The first thing they do when they get their pasta is actually the first thing is put salt on it, which is another thing that I would never do, because you cannot put salt on top of pasta. You have to boil it.
Already cooked pasta. Yeah.
Yes, you don't do that. You just don't. And then the other thing that they do is you start cutting it. And now, yeah, nice. I apologize if you've done it too.
I don't, but I can't speak for my family members. I'm pretty sure they have. I mean,
I'm better than that.
But I have like become pretty indoctrinated as to like the major felony type rules that I'm supposed to follow when it comes to how I eat. So I tend to follow those pretty strictly, especially when I'm around other Italians. But
yes. When nobody's watching.
Maybe when nobody's watching, take out the knife, slice up my pasta. No. Oh my gosh. I love this. This is hilarious to me. You're actually the first Italian I've had on, like full Italian that I've had on as a guest. Oh. So you have the honor of telling us how things need to really be. You're the authority.
Yeah, we're a little bit like that. We're obsessed with rules and unwritten rules.
Just a bit. Just a tad.
Just a little bit.
I mean, you can just tell if you watch any Italian TV, it's like 80% of the shows are cooking shows. And yes, all of them are intensely critical about the food. All right, I'm going to cut my pasta. I'm going to try.
Mm-hmm.
See how this goes.
Meanwhile, I have cut my first half. I had split it in half. And I'm going to go on and slice the second half.
Oh, nice.
Which I have to roll still. I worked in the little bits, the ones that were small or misshaped. Make the other. There's something very satisfying in making food from scratch, especially pasta.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible when you start from things that you wouldn't think, you wouldn't even consider human grade food. In this case, if you look at this flower, really, it looks.
Oh,
really,
I know.
Yeah.
But, well, I think it's just like you would definitely describe it as rustic, but it's the kind of stuff that, like, you know, even you put a little water in it, it just feels like it resembles like more Play-Doh than anything else. And then somehow you work it a few times, you roll it out, and all of a sudden it's become this delicious noodle. Yeah. So it really does transform.
Yeah. When you see the little cut pieces, they're just amazing.
Perfect.
Okay. I'm slicing my second piece here.
Okay. So then all of the like irregular pieces, what are you doing with all those? Like the edge pieces, basically.
Well, really, you could work into a ball and flatten them out again and make some more noodles. But I think a lot of people would consider that acceptable discard at this point.
Oh, okay. That's fair. So it's kind of like little like matchstick pastas.
That's right. That's a very good metaphor, yeah.
They're like tiny little fun.
Another tool I'm using that I didn't mention is, it's a pastry scraper. You know what I mean?
Oh,
those flat metal blades that you can use for scraping a cutting board. And I find it works really well for transferring the noodles from the cutting board on something else.
Yeah, that's smart. I use that for a lot of different things in my kitchen, for sure. I love to, I mean, obviously, love to cook.
Yeah, I noticed.
I guess about cooking, but.
So yes, I'm transferring them onto plates, but I really made sure to not have any flour on the plate, unlike, you know, normally you would for fresh pasta. You can also, at this point, dry them, let them dry out in air, if you have one of those pasta hangy things.
I don't know what those are called.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like a pasta stendino, like a
stendino, brava.
Little pasta, like clothes rack, basically.
Exactly. Excellent. All right, my noodles are ready. I don't know about yours.
Yeah, I'm just like finishing cutting the last row, and then I've got them mostly ready. They look exactly like the ones that I've seen on the internet, so that tells me that I've done something right.
Awesome.
It's always a good good gauge.
Good gauge. Yes, absolutely. All right. Meanwhile, the water is boiling. And like always in this, we want a full rolling boil, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which will also stir the pot automatically without us doing
anything. True.
Interesting. And keep things from sticking to each other. And at this point, I like to add the salt. I haven't done it before for some reason, for tradition, really. I don't think it makes any difference, but Italians like to put the salt at this point, probably because of the pyrotechnics. When you add the salt, it goes. So for a big pot that I have here, I'm using coarse salt for this because it's cheaper and there's no point in using table salt for this, obviously.
Okay.
Coarse salt. And also because I have an idea of the volume of coarse salt for this purpose. So it's a couple of tablespoons for this amount of water. So the rule there is, I think it's 1 tablespoon per 2 liters of water.
Okay.
So I have at least 4, maybe 5 or 6 liters. So I'm going to go 2, maybe 3 tablespoons, which seems like a lot of salt.
Yeah, it kind of does.
But yeah, the point is to make salty water. And it should taste salty, a bit like seawater. Maybe less, maybe, but close to that. Or like I say often, it should taste a bit like tears if you're feeling sad.
This is how it gets real.
It gets real. We've all been there. Okay. All right. So nice. The salt is dissolved. Okay. So we're going to start cooking the vegetables, starting with the cabbage, which takes a little bit longer than the potatoes, the way we have it. So all of it goes in. And I'm going to start my timer, which is a Google Home timer. Apologies.
Nice.
It looks like you don't have any
time. I don't know if you heard that. Hey, Google.
Oh, my gosh. You're right, Google. So much sass.
All right. 15 minutes. And that's starting now.
There you go.
Perfect.
15 minutes, which is all we need at this point.
Okay.
So the cabbage goes in, and I give it a little stir.
Nice.
Then we're going to wait 5 minutes and then put the potatoes in there. So
okay. Great.
Meanwhile, we can get started on a couple of other things. Melting some butter, because nothing is really good until you add butter.
Well, yes, obviously. Being from North America, I can absolutely agree with that statement.
So, and this is quite a bit of butter. So we're using 50 grams, which is, I think, a couple of tablespoons.
Give or take.
It's quite generous.
Yeah.
It's nothing. Yeah, it needs to be. It's the only condiment, really, on this dish. Everything else.
Right.
In fact, it's actually quite light dish, despite all the things that we are saying.
Yeah, I like that it's like, it's a pasta dish, but I feel like Italians would definitely classify this as like piatto unico. Like,
definitely.
I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong about that, but
it's so
much going on. Like, you've got your vegetables in there, your potatoes. It's a meal, basically.
It definitely is. Yes, it's one meal for sure, especially if you're making you know, it could be an appetizer, it can be a first course, if you make a small amount. Okay, so the butter is starting to melt, and I'm also going to crush a garlic clove and add it to the butter. So I'd like to just use the side of my knife and give it a nice smash, break it into pieces this way. And I don't know about garlic.
I was just about to say, what's your take on garlic? Are you an Italian who eats garlic, or do you discard it?
I discard it.
Yes,
but in this case, you could eat it. You could eat it, but we're going to use this just to flavor the butter.
Okay.
So if you want, you can maybe crush one into smaller pieces and leave them in if you want. But another one just for flavoring the garlic, for flavoring the butter. Apologies.
No, I don't mean to make fun of you. I'm just kidding, because my mother-in-law yesterday, because we were over there for lunch, which also I was just confused about why that even happened, because it wasn't a holiday, but it was Sunday. So it's like, we can't miss Sunday lunch. So
yeah, totally. That makes sense, actually.
Yeah. So we were at her house for lunch, and when she served the vegetables, she was like, "Non so chi ha beccato l'aglio, ma mettilo da parte." And I was like, "I got the garlic." And I was like, "Don't worry, I love garlic." And everyone was like, "No, don't eat the garlic." And I was like, "No, I like it." I was like, "Garlic's good for your immune system. I like garlic." But I knew what I was getting into by admitting that to the family. They were like, why would you eat it?
You know, it's the usual thing. Italians are worried about making brutta figura or looking, you know. So garlic, you know, we give you that kind of breath sometimes, and people don't like it to smell like that. And also, it's considered unrefined, I think, because again, uneducated people eat onions and garlic because it's all they can find. You know, this is not what I think. This is what tradition or the way I grew up.
Harsh.
It's very harsh. so I guess people, even if they're poor, they prefer not to be seen like poor, obviously. So they don't want to smell like garlic.
Very interesting. I've never heard that before. Fascinating. I guess I'm just destined for cucina povera, because I love eating onions and garlic on everything. But
there you go.
And that's so funny, because I feel like North American cooking really thinks that, I don't know, there's this perception that Italian cooking is just like full of garlic. I've talked about this before in the podcast, I know, but it's forever relevant, because I run into this a lot. It's just like garlic is really just there to flavor things. And a lot of people think that it's there for more, but no.
Yeah, absolutely. It's for flavoring. That's what
definitely.
It's a spice, really. A bit like a spice. Not really an ingredient. Anyway, at this point, I've added the potatoes to the water, because it's about 10 minutes to being ready. The time is about around 9:45. And
perfect.
We still have a few minutes before we go into the pasta, which will be just the last 2-3 minutes, which gives us just enough time to make the other two things that we need to prepare: the grated Parmigiano, which obviously we get from an actual piece of Parmesan, and we need about 20 grams, which is a bit of a generous amount to. Maybe like a half, I don't know, third of a cup when you see it grated.
Okay.
So it's quite a generous amount of Parmigiano. It's more than what you would put on a normal, you know, pasta dish.
Well, it depends on who you're asking, but yes.
Well, I know. Parmigiano is amazing. Italians like to put it everywhere. It's a fish.
Yeah, it's just like almost like cheesy salt. I think of it that way. It's like you add it on top, add such an umami, like that's burst of savoriness, but it's also cheesy.
creamy.
I know. Yeah, that's great.
Amazing. Okay, so I have my parmigiano ready into a bowl. And also, I'm going to prepare the cheese. Okay, so this is another a bit difficult point. So traditionally, this dish is made with Valtellina casera. It's a type of cheese that is indigenous of Valtellina. It's made there. And it's really hard to find, even in Milan.
I mean, so, I couldn't find it in Florence, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. So we're looking at substitutions here. And a good one that I like is Fontina. A little bit of a mild Fontina, not a very aged one, not very strong. Or raclette, which is a Swiss cheese, same mountains, which is a bit similar, I find.
Yeah, that's what I found. That's what I was able to find.
Oh, you have raclette as well. Wonderful.
Yes.
So I'm getting my raclette out. And we need about 100 grams, which is like a thick slice.
Let's see here.
So if you can find it already sliced, it's not a bad idea for this because the slices will actually be very useful for how we're going to compose the dish. In the plate, really directly in the serving bowls. This is how we do this. But if not, you know, you can make it into crumbs, or you can like dice it finely, or slice it finely using your knife. And it doesn't have to be perfect. But if you can make thin slices with your knife, they're going to melt easier, more easily.
Okay.
So that's what we're going for.
Yeah, I've never had a raclette before.
Oh, you taste it then. Let's taste it now.
Yeah, let's taste it. It's very chewy.
Yeah, and milky. And
yes,
creamy. I don't know if yours is quite strong. Mine is quite strong.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what it reminds me of. I don't know.
That's a lot of cheese that is a bit seen. This. Medium ripe, I guess.
Yeah, because just at room temperature now, it's like softening a little bit just because it is pretty soft, even though it's
great for eating,
has
but
its
not
own
for
form.
Slice.
Yeah, the slices all kind of bunch together.
Yeah, so if you can open them up a little bit, this is going to facilitate the next operation.
Got it.
Okay.
That's great.
Excellent. So we have now 5 minutes. The potatoes and cabbage are cooking. I give it a stir from time to time. The garlic butter is ready and is at the low temperature there. You don't want the butter to clarify. You want to stay, you know, remain, you know, mixed with the milky bit and the greasy bit together, possibly. We have the cheese ready. And I'm going to put it here aside. At this point, we want to start to get organized with all of the ingredients that we're going to use to compose the dish. Really easy to reach around us.
Okay. So get everything close to where you need it.
Close to the pot, really, because we're going to work around the pot where we've been boiling things.
Okay.
So the cheese, the sliced cheese, the parmigiano. And then we have 4 minutes to go. So I'm watching the clock really carefully now because around 3 minutes, we're going to go in with the noodles.
Okay.
Then we get 2 serving bowls. And we put them here side by side. So we're going to essentially gather all the ingredients and then start layering them. And and this is how the dish is made, and then served like that, and it is just enjoyed like that without stirring. People do that themselves if they want to, but you don't stir them. You kind of pick up the from the top and start eating. But then you know the one that I had in restaurants instead was different. It was baked into individual dishes, so it was like layered and then put into the oven briefly into like one of those oven.
Yeah, a little like cook, ramekin, yeah, there we go. Yes.
Yes. So 3 minutes left to go, and I'm going to go in with the pasta.
Okay, so pasta in the pot.
In my case, they're a little bit stuck together, but as soon as they hit the water, I find that they are doing really well to detach themselves.
Okay.
So all the pasta goes in, and now I'll give it a good stir, because this is the time where we want things to be tapped and it's nice and separated.
Mm.
The pasta will be probably floating.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes.
Just super concentrated over here.
This is a very critical moment. Crucial.
This is the real MasterChef challenge.
There's one more little tricky bit. So we have a couple of minutes to go. All right, nice. We give it a good stir, but then we leave it there because we don't want to disturb that flour that meanwhile has sedimented to the bottom.
Perfect.
And so another thing I prepared on the side here is a colander, and I put it onto another mixing bowl.
Mm.
This way, you know, I'm going to now use my skimmer.
Mm-hmm.
That's another tool you need to have in here. Use the skimmer to take the pasta and the vegetables, everything, starting from the top, skim it and put it into the colander. And then because I'm not close to the sink, I have a mixing bowl underneath the colander for the excess water.
Well, perfect. So when should we start doing that?
We have like 1 minute.
One more minute. Okay. I'm just like, whew, I need to be ready. So
yeah.
Got it.
You're using my same timer. Google.
Yes.
Timer.
Yes. Love it.
1 minute to go.
All right. I feel like my parents would love this dish.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but
it's a crowd pleaser. My wife liked it the first time immediately. I think we're already familiar with the flavor of cabbage and potato. And the pasta is such a delicious bite in here. It's rustic, earthy. Obviously, the garlic butter is just delicious. The cheese, can't go wrong with this. Vegetarian dish, not vegan, but certainly. 40 seconds to go. I'm excited and hungry, really. Yeah.
The pasta's vegan. If you wanted to do it with olive oil, you could make it vegan instead of butter.
That's right.
And just no cheese. So, I mean,
it's going to be a bit different dish.
Yeah.
But still enjoyable, I think. Still enjoyable.
Still a possibility, yeah. Nice.
Okay, so the Google voice is about to go off. Actually, I'm not going to let it do that. I just stop it now. There you go. Stopped it. Okay, this is time now to, I can stop the fire, the burner, the hob.
Okay.
And using my skimmer, get the pasta, which is the one floating, from the top into my colander. I'm just going to kind of drain it a little bit with my skimmer and then let it do the rest in the colander.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to disturb the bottom.
The flour that's falling out. Yeah. Okay. Also try not to drip any hot water into your hot butter.
Yeah.
An unpleasant splattering.
Right. Tricky, but yeah, I find that this is because we're using fresh, handmade noodles. And so we are concerned about the flour. If we're using dried noodles from a box, you can really just dump everything into the colander like you do for pasta and just skip this lengthy process of skimming.
Good to know. Yeah.
That's what I know I do, but I found that it was a little bit slimy. The water was a bit slimy, so you don't want that, you know, to end up in your palate.
Yeah, no. Absolutely not. Even in the mountains, we have standards.
Absolutely. The strongest.
So funny.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, it smells great.
All right, almost there. Yeah. It's a bit of a lengthy process.
Almost everything. Fish out. I know, it's like going fishing. There we go. I think I've got all of it.
I mean, my water is not particularly murky, so I think it would have been fine. But, you know, just to be safe.
Just for precision, yeah. Just to pair.
Okay.
Great.
This pasta really holds its cooking. Tiene la cottura. I don't know if you translate that into English the way I did. Really well. In fact, it's one of the few pasta dishes that you can reheat successfully.
Ooh.
Yeah, good to know.
Yeah, perfect.
So if you're not going to eat it now, it's going to be amazing later.
So that's interesting because it's not like we've cooked it al dente or anything. It's just, it's cooked.
And, it's cooked. Yeah.
Right. But it still reheats well.
It does. It does.
Curious.
For some reason it does. This is because it's very earthy and kind of, it's going to remain quite, oh, sorry, my pot is rocking and making a lot of noise. Okay. Now we're going to use some tongs to layer the ingredients. So starting from a potato pasta cabbage mix on the bottom, and you're going to go for, so we aim to do like three layers overall. So we start with like covering the bottom of the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And then, good. Good, good, good. And then we put some sliced cheese. Try to open it up. It will just melt with the temperature of the pasta.
And yes.
So some cheese. And then some parmigiano for good measure. There you go. And then a little bit of butter. Just gonna leave the garlic in the pan. Sorry.
Of course.
And go like a tablespoon, like half a tablespoon per bowl, and then do another layer.
Nice. It smells great.
And then cheese.
You're thinking it smells like lunch because you're having this for lunch.
I am with this for lunch, yes. We're 1 hour behind you.
Yeah. I love that it's layered. I really didn't think about that little particular detail. Yeah. That's nice.
This is like my second layer. So I'm putting all of the cheese now because the third layer will just be the top.
Right.
Because we want to finish
like
with
1/3, 2/3.
Yeah, right. Exactly. A little bit of parmigiano on top of the cheese. A little bit of butter on top of the parmigiano. Spread it evenly. And then I'm going to just use my colander and dump the rest of the pasta and veggies on top. It's right. A good bowl for me. Fantastic.
Nice.
And then we finish with the rest of the parmigiano. Generous amount on top.
Of course.
The rest of the butter, which for me is, again, a lot. Good. There you go. And then some freshly ground black pepper, if you have it.
Ooh, okay.
Sorry, a bit of a curveball there.
Yeah, surprise. Surprise black pepper entrance.
I mean, it's just because it's pretty easy. And it really works with the flavor profiles, of course. You have butter, you have cheese.
I mean, you don't have to tell me twice. I put pepper on everything.
I know.
Maybe too much.
Catch a babe. Yeah. You know how it's done over there.
A little S&P just goes on and all.
Yes, absolutely. So yes, I have the bowls in front of me, and this is it. This is the dish.
Yes.
I'm going to take a photo for you so you can compare.
Perfect. Please do. Yeah, no. Can't wait. Well, thanks so much. You have taught me a new skill. I'm very happy.
I hope you like it. Please give it a try. It should be tasted. It should be tasted now. Let's do that.
I mean, why not? Yeah, you're having lunch.
Yeah.
Hold on a sec. I've got to... Let me have a bite.
Yeah, really...
Without burning really myself.
Good. Pasta is a nice bite.
Gotta love a dish that comes together in like a half an hour.
Yeah.
From scratch. We made pasta. One pot. Mm-hmm. Nothing better.
I know. I'm advertising my own dish, but... it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah. No, okay. Moment of truth. I'm going to taste it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. No, that's really good.
Excellent. Everything is cooked perfectly. The potatoes are tender, but they're not soggy. And yes. The cabbage is delicious. Tastes really good. You can still see leaves. And yes. And the
really
pasta
hearty.
Is hearty, yes. The pasta is a good bite, not overcooked.
So good.
Not slimy.
Please. Of all things, not slimy.
Excellent.
Great.
A successful dish.
Yes, definitely. Well, enjoy your lunch. Buon appetito.
Grazie, carissima.
And thanks so much for teaching. Yeah, thank you so much for teaching me how to do this and for coming on the podcast. It was really such a pleasure.
Likewise, yes. And we have to do this again. I'm sure you can teach me Tuscan dishes, American dishes, all sorts of dishes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to do the
guys, absolutely. And where can my listeners find you on the internet and listen to your podcast?
Thank you. My podcast is called Thoughts on the Table, and you can find it everywhere you find podcasts, including The Italian Dish, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And also I have a blog where you can also listen to the podcast, which is called Disgraces on the Menu.
Perfect.
Yes. So
go ahead and we will just link to your recipe, honestly, because there's nothing to alter here. You're the original, so...
Thank you so much. I try. All right.
Perfect.
Christine, have a great day. Take care. Thanks so
you
much
too.
For giving me this opportunity.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. Bye. Ciao.
Bye-bye. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Italian Dish. If you enjoyed this recipe and know someone else who loves Italian food, share it with them. Buon appetito, ragazzi. And until next time, alla prossima. Ciao.